Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, my guest is Serafina Christine. Yay, I got her name right by butchering it. You know, that's always a challenge for me. Serafina combines her lived experience of being unhoused and complex PTSD with neuroscience to explain the ways trauma impacts people's mind, body, and spirit. She began by speaking with neighborhood groups in 2020 and quickly expanded to providing organizations training on complex trauma and the impacts of poverty. And she's here from British Columbia. So we're super excited to have you on here today. What else about you would you like to share with our audience?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm an artist. I love houseplants. I have over 65 houseplants right now. Mm-hmm. it's a bit of an addiction. Otherwise, I just enjoy the beaches and I feel very lucky to live in BC. I live on a little island and just love it.
Awesome. Yeah. So one of the most important questions I have for guests coming onto the show, because my audience is generally women, trauma survivors, some men listen, and to help them understand why you're a guest on our show, it's usually because it's someone who's also a survivor or someone who has programs to help survivors. And a lot of times it's both of those things. So is there a trauma story that you're comfortable with sharing with us today?
Yeah, I can just give an overview of why I started doing the work that I do. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in an abusive household. I left home when I was 16 and I entered a multitude of domestic abuse situations. I ended up becoming unhoused and I was unhoused for 5 or 6 years and everything that that entails from, living on the street and doing what you need to do to survive when you're in that place of poverty. One of the things that I noticed as I was going through all these experiences was that a lot of people didn't really know how to help me. And they didn't really know how to provide what I needed or even how to listen to me. And I ended up working really hard to get stabilized. And I had to work a lot by myself because the supports just didn't exist and in what I needed. And so after working on getting stabilization in my life and getting a home and being a little bit more grounded, I started to look at what my life experiences had given me in the form of trauma, in the form of challenges for either in the workplace or in relationships. And I started to study the nervous system and it led me to neuroscience, nervous system work, developmental trauma. And I started putting all these pieces together and I ended up talking with some service providers in the nonprofit world and being like noticing that the ways that they were interacting with the unhoused community was having a negative impact on the people that they were trying to help because they didn't understand the underlying layers of trauma and how it impacts your brain, how it makes you perceive the world differently, that's called neuroception, right? How you change it, just they didn't understand the mindset that a person would have with all of these experiences or why they would be on the street. They didn't understand the mindset that comes with surviving sexual assault. And it's just, that's how I got my start was because I started pointing out like, hey, you know, if you shift your service a little bit so that you are dealing with the person's nervous system instead of what you think they need, it's going to work a lot better. And people found that it did.
And what kind of suggestions did you give to how to work with the nervous system?
A lot of it goes back to understanding that a person without developmental trauma, when they perceive the world, they are perceiving the world from a place of safety. And so they look around and they say, oh, hey, the world is safe. You know, I can do things, I can take risks. And when you meet a person who has a lot of developmental trauma or has a lot of trauma in their life, just in general, that part of the brain gets switched off and turns into, I perceive the world as a dangerous, scary place. I look around and I can't take risk. I can't trust people. I can't talk to this person or receive this from that person. And so when we look at some of the situations that service providers are in, they're trying to help people who have this automatic distrust. And a lot of people get really offended by that mm-hmm. lack of trust.
Right.
And it is so not personal. And so I'm always explaining to people about that switch. And I also explain, you know, you might want to start to incorporate practices with your clients if you're able to work with them one-on-one, where we work with changing that perception. So there's an exercise called Orient to Safety, which is one of the basic exercises I teach in my programming. And what it does is it allows the nervous system to see the world and see that it's safe. And what it does in the context of working with a client is you start to relax their body before they even start to think about relaxing their mind. And as you relax the body, the mind will automatically start to relax. It's a very simple exercise. And all it is that you turn and look behind you, whatever shoulder, it doesn't matter. And then you slowly look around your space and you take 3 deep breaths. One breath with something that you like, another breath with something that you like, and the third breath with something that you like, until you're looking over your shoulder again. The breaths are important because it's giving your nervous nervous system that time to
mm-hmm. reset.
Yeah.
Okay, so I never heard of this exercise, so that's really cool. Because one of the things you said is showing people the world is safe. And I was like, ooh, that's not going to work. Because there's lots of evidence where the world is not safe at times. But I think you mean the person's world in that moment, like in their space. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I mean, there is a lot of evidence. And people who are trauma survivors, we have so much evidence mm-hmm. that proves that the world is a bad place. It's going to hurt you. And one of the things that I find fascinating with the nervous system is that we can actually work with retraining the nervous system. And so we can actually switch the way that we perceive the world from being dangerous to being a safe place. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of steps that you have to do from the beginning to that. And there's going to be even situations that will be like, oh yeah, you know, we're feeling like the world is safe. And then we get into a situation and it's like, no. But one of the good things about it is like, once I started doing these practices that worked with my body, because there also came a point where I had so much stuff living inside of my body, and I would do the programs that people were recommending, like CBT, which is proven to not be very effective for PTSD people in some cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to many therapists that were just like, just meditate more, just focus on your breath more, just, you know, don't think about it. And that's kind of like an impossibility when your body takes over before your mind even has a chance to process or think. And so once I started to reverse that flip for myself, where I started to focus on my body, focus on the nervous system, I did that I still do the Orient to Safety pretty much every day before I go into any type of meeting, before I go into any type of conversation that I know is going to get my nervous system going and activated. And it just creates a very subtle shift, and it's part of the training into safety.
So can we review the practice one more time and make sure I understand it? So it's one shoulder and then saying 3 likes, and then it's the other shoulder. Is that right?
Yeah. So you just look over one shoulder, and when you find something that you like, I don't know, this is a plant, I'm going to take a breath in let myself look at the plant.
Liking things in your environment around you as you'll grow. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's key to go as far back as you can look over each shoulder.
Yeah.
Because what you're like, the way it was explained to me is that basically you're giving your nervous system a chance to make sure that there's no predators.
Yeah.
Nobody is coming out with a knife.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really, really like it. Okay. So thank you for introducing us to that. You know, yeah. I love concrete tools that the audience listening can like, oh, that's something I could do today. And it doesn't cost anything. You know, so other women that may not have a budget, you know, to invest in their treatment or their self-development right now, they're like, oh, well, at least we're getting some tools that we can implement right away. So I think that, yeah, that's pretty huge. Yeah. So let me see what else. So where do people find you on the internet? Like, do you have a website that you send people to go to purchase a program, or are you just speaking right now? Like, tell us more about what you do.
Yeah. So right now I'm working on developing a program for survivors of trauma and a secondary program for people who are providing services. It's really important to me that the program is very accessible to survivors of trauma. One of the issues that we have here in BC is that mental health is not covered by the government at all. So for somebody like me, it's going to be $200 per session with a therapist out of pocket, which is very unobtainable. So my website is seraphimproject.net, and that's where people can keep up to date with the services and the talks that I'm doing that are for the public. Mm-hmm. And then I also have an Instagram, which is at seraphim.project.
Now, you're going to write a book?
Hopefully one day.
Okay. I encourage people to do that. It's a place, one, to tell your story. When you're ready, like, there's no pressure to race through that. But it helps you build up your audience. Like, people know like what your story is. I myself have not written my own full book yet. I've done chapters where I've contributed, just because I'm a full time therapist right now. And so finding the time has been a bit of a challenge, but I do plan to write a series of eBooks about trauma. But right now I've contributed to several book projects, and that's just an easier way to get started. So let me know if I can help you with any of that. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Thank you.
So what's next for you?
Well, right now I am actually working on my bachelor's degree to get to become a therapist. I'm finding that I just want to get more credentials so that I can reach a bigger audience, because I love studying the nervous system and trauma and all of that stuff. So right now I'm just working, focusing on speaking, getting my bachelor's degree, and I have so many different ideas. I also sell on Etsy a nervous system diagram if people are interested. Mm-hmm. It goes through the different states, and it was something that I wanted when I was studying, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find, so I made it. Now I saw it on Etsy under the Seraphim Project. And it just basically goes through the nervous system states, but it gives you also the physical, what you look like physically when you're in different states. So it's a really useful tool for people, body and their sensations, and then also being able to understand what another person is feeling and where they are inside of the nervous system state too. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to add that to the show notes. So anybody interested in the diagram, it will have access to that. Are there any other materials or books or anything that you recommend for our listeners who want to learn more? Do you have favorites?
Yes, I have favorites. I would also like to just say that if you watch my Etsy shop, I'm coming out with a coloring book on the nervous system soon.
Oh, I love that. What a wonderful idea. I have coloring books too on Amazon. So that's really cool.
I feel like such a nerd every time I talk about it, because I'm like so excited, but it's happening. And then some of my favorite books would be Nurturing Resilience. That is like my number one. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to get the authors, because often people get it confused. So it's by Kathy L. Kane and Stephen J. Terrell.
Okay.
This book is like half really, really good science, and then the second half is really good for therapy and for therapists and for working with clients. And so I always give people that preface, because it's definitely not a layman's book. It's definitely like you're going to get a lot of science, and then you're going to get a lot of exercises to do, which it works for me because I'm a little nerdy about this, mm-hmm. but it might not be for everybody. The other one that I really like is Stephanie Foo's book that recently came out.
F-O-O?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read some of her stuff too. What's the book you recommend?
Yeah, What My Bones Know.
Ooh,
and yeah. That's actually a memoir from healing with complex trauma. And it was an excellent read. It was really well put together. And so I recommend that book for everybody. Those are the top two that come to me.
Okay. I think that's really helpful too. So let's see. We have a listener who's having, you know, similar experience that you had in childhood. So they're a victim of childhood abuse, struggling with poverty. In their first few relationships, they end up in domestic violence situations. Maybe they've been sexually assaulted. And they're feeling kind of beat down and overwhelmed. Like, what words of hope or inspiration do you have for anyone in that kind of situation?
I think there's a couple of things that I wish that people would have been saying to me when I was in that kind of situation. And so that's what I can offer because I don't know the specifics of this person.
Okay.
And that would just be acknowledging that, yeah, it is hard. And yeah, you don't have the same, you aren't looking at the world in the same way that a lot of other people are. And it's hard. And I think that it's really important to just acknowledge those emotions exist and those emotions are real and they're true and they're valid. And I would also say that it is so possible for you to move forward into the life that you want if you focus on you. You focus on your safety, your stability, what is important for you, and you take those next steps that you know that you need to take. Like some of the hardest steps that I took were leaving an entire group of friends behind because I knew that if I stayed with them, I would die. And so I was very simply like, you know what? I have to just stop doing that. I have to make the really difficult choice of leaving everything behind and doing something different without any sort of knowing that it's going to work. But trusting that you know those steps and that you know that you need to cultivate safety and being fearless in cultivating what you need to do to take care of yourself is going to be the best gift you give yourself.
Mm. That was really well said.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's huge. Okay, well, I appreciate so much for you taking the time out today to be here with our audience to give them some concrete action plans. You've given a couple of book recommendations. You have some things on Etsy for us to check out and your programs online. So we're very appreciative of your time today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.